الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, we begin this morning with some مراجعة and review from our previous class. Who can remind us of the kunya of the noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Abul Qasim, Ahsant. How many fathers are in the lineage between Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Adnan? Ishrun. Translate.
20.
Ahsant. 20. Naam, there are 20. So based upon that, if a person were going to memorize the lineage, it would be easy for him to memorize five at a time. There's 20 between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Adnan. So if you memorize five at a time, then you can finish any easy like this to break it down instead of trying to memorize the whole thing all at one time. Memorize five names at a time. Five names at a time until you memorize all of them. Who can remind us of the Khulafa al-Rashidun? How many are they?
Four.
What are their names? Quickly.
Abu Bakr.
Omar.
Uthman.
Ali. And in this order. It's important to mention in this order, this is the order of their Khilafah, and this is the order of their virtue. With Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the order that they came in the Khilafah, one after the other in time, and in leadership, likewise indicates their order in virtue. Their order in virtue. After that, there were six more. You add six to those four, and those ten will be? Al-Ashrah and Wabashirun Bil-Jannah. The ten who have been given glad tidings with paradise. How do we understand that? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he only gave ten of his companions glad tidings of paradise? Or there were a number of them that received that. That bishara from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But these 10 specifically, they're all mentioned together in one narration. They're all mentioned together in one narration. And the names they have preceded. Likewise, there were seven of the companions that were known for narrating a number of hadith, a minimum number. What was that minimum number? 1,000. They all narrated 1,000 or more narrations. Anybody memorize the poetry? Ahsant, barakallah fik. Who narrated the most? Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu. So those are the seven there. There were seven more that we mentioned, but they were not with regards to narration. They were with regards to another issue. What was that? Fatawa, giving fatawa and delivering the religious verdicts and answering the questions and making ijtihad with knowledge and dealing with the issues that the people are facing in those days after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, we mentioned some acronyms. There was an acronym for the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who remembers that acronym? Hajaza Sahrun Sam'ahu. What does that mean? Sahrun blocked his ears, and he didn't want to listen to the falsehood. So he closed his ears. So the statement, it has a meaning. What's the point from these letters or from this sentence? Every single word, every single letter is the beginning of a name of one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many wives did he have?
11.
How many whenever he died?
Nine.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who were the two that died in his lifetime? Khadija bint Khuwaylid. And Zainab bint? Zainab bint Khuzaima. These are the two that died in his lifetime. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anha sahabati ajma'in. Coming along in that mention, we mentioned two other acronyms. I mention them again. Ran-hat. It's an acronym. The ra and the noon and the ha and the ta. Ran-hat. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned, Shaykhuna Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, that this is the tartib of the person making hajj. on the day of Eid. For those making Hajj, this is known as Yawm al-Eid al-Akbar. And this is whenever the person who's making Hajj, he's performing the most of the actions of Hajj today. So if a person was to say, what is the order that the person should perform all those actions of Hajj on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, then this is the order here. Ran halt. The ra is for rami, stoning the jamarat. And the noon is for al-nahar, slaughtering the hadi. And the ha is for the halq, shaving the head. And the last one is the ta, tawaf. Naam. So this is the order of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the people of knowledge, they strive like this to make it easy to memorize. If a person making hajj, he did it in another order, it's allowed and permissible, but this is the sunnah. Ran halt. Then there was another one, himps. What was that for? Ha, mim, sad. Huh? Ha, that was for the tartib, or the arrangement of the affairs that happen on the day of judgment. The ha is for the hawd. And after that is the mizan, the scales of justice will be set. And after that, the sirat, passing the sirat. May Allah give us steadfastness upon his sirat in this life and in the hereafter. In this life and in the hereafter. So there were three that had madaris al-ilm. There were three that they had schools, and they were teaching more than others. And in three different lands, the sunnah spread from them. What were those lands and what were those three? Abdullah ibn Abbas, Ibn Mas'ud, Abu Ma'an, Zayd ibn Thabit. Zayd ibn Thabit was in Al-Madinah. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he was in? Abdullah ibn Abbas. Mecca. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was in Al-Kufa. Al-Kufa, radiyallahu anhum jameen. They had students, many students that were striving to benefit from them and to learn from them and spreading their fatawa. Students that were imitating them and following them precisely, learning their knowledge and following that. Following that way, they had madhahib, wa tulab yadhabuna bimadhabihim, yani following them precisely and spreading their knowledge. Today we add to the issue of the sahaba the definition of a sahabi. What is a sahabi? Ma ta'rifu a sahabi? Man huwa a sahabi? Who is considered a companion? And this is the question that we want to answer now. Ahsant. من لقي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مؤمنا به ومات على الإسلام. This is a companion, the one who met the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم while believing in him. And he as the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he died upon al-Islam. So regardless of whether he saw him or he spoke with him or he was with him for a long time or a short time, so regardless he met the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether it was for a long time or a short time, and the likes like this, or if he seen him or didn't see him, as long as he gathered with him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while believing in him, and he died upon Islam, he's considered a sahabi. And he has the virtue of a suhba. And this is a level and a rank that no one can reach. This is a level and a rank that no one after them can reach. They have companionship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were chosen and selected to be from those who met with him and believed in him and followed him and died upon al-Islam. Based upon this definition, what do we say about al-Najashi? Najashi, he accepted Islam. Is that right? He accepted Islam at the hands of the Muslims that made hijrah to him, and he became a Muslim. But was he a companion? Al-Najah. Remember the definition, the one who met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while believing in him, and he died upon Islam. Did Najashi meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? No, he didn't meet him. Najashi, he didn't come to Al-Madinah, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't go to Al-Habasha. So therefore, Al-Najashi, he was not a companion. He did not have a suhbah. So he's considered from the tabi'een. He's considered from the tabi'een. But there is a special type of tabi'i that is between the two. Between the two, it's a position between a Sahabi and between a Tabi'i, and it's called Al-Mukhadram. Al-Mukhadram. Al-Mukhadram, he is the one who lived in Al-Jahiliyyah. He lived in the days of Jahiliyyah, and he lived in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he accepted Islam, but he never met the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There's a number of them. There's a number of individuals that lived in different areas, and the da'wah reached them in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they believed, but they never met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There was a man, his name is Suwayd ibn Ghafla. Suwayd ibn Ghafla, he's from the Mukhadramin. And it's mentioned about him that he came to Medina and he got there the night the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam died. So he is one of those tabi'un that's mentioned about him, kada an yakuna sahabiyan. He almost was a companion. He almost was a companion. I mean, he got there the night the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam died. So therefore he didn't reach the level of as-suhba. He didn't reach the level of as-suhba. Al-Najashi, he called the people to Al-Islam. And there was a man who accepted Islam at his hands. He was a companion. Anybody know his name? Amr ibn al-As. Amr ibn al-As. He accepted Islam with Najashi. He accepted Islam with Najashi. So this is a question. Maybe someone will say, the people of knowledge, they will mention, that who is the companion that accepted Islam at the hands of a tabi'i? Who is the companion who accepted Islam at the hands of a tabi'i? The answer? Amr ibn al-As. Because he accepted Islam at the hands of al-Najashi. Al-Najashi called him to Islam. Al-Najashi called him to Islam. And he was not a companion. So here we have a companion accepting Islam from the call of a tabi'i. This is something rare. This is something rare. So the Mukhadramun, there are those people who lived before Islam. They are alive in the days of Jahiliyyah and also in the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they accepted Islam and died upon Islam, but they never met the Messenger. They never met the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But pay attention to the details of the people of knowledge whenever they select words. The definition that is precise and that is preferred, man laqiya, those who met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they don't say man ra'a an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Why? Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum. He was from those who were the noble companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but he never saw him. He met him, but he never saw him because he was blind. So those who are blind is included in this definition. So this is an indication here that we make a point about the precision of the speech of the people of knowledge. Whenever they speak, they choose words. And when they speak about knowledge, they choose words that are precise, that will indicate a special meaning or a concise and precise meaning. And from that, this affair, من لقي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مؤمنا به ومات على الإسلام ومات على الإسلام. So therefore, if somebody met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and didn't believe in him, and he met him while he was a disbeliever, and then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he died, and then later he accepted Islam, he would not be a companion likewise. Whenever he met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had to be a believer at that time, and then die upon al-Islam. This is a companion. After that is a tabi'i. And the tabi'i is similar, except for he's the one who met a companion, believing in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he died upon Islam. This one is considered a tabi'i. This one is considered a tabi'i. And the main tabaqat of the ruwat, we have a sahaba. This is the very first one. And after that, a tabi'un. And after that, atba'u, a tabi'in. And after that, tabi'u, atba'a tabi'in. There are four tabaqat of the narrators of hadith. Yani in the fourth tabaqa, this is the tabaqa of Al-Bukhari and Muslim and Ashab Kutub al-Sittah. And at this time, the narrations were gathered and collected in works. And from there, the majority of the knowledge is spread from books at this time. People began taking narration. The narrations continued, but people, they're now hearing the book, Al-Bukhari, and taking that by chain, and hearing the book of Muslim and taking that by chain. And at this time, in this period, the Sunnah was gathered in works. And from there, any of their works were spread after them. The works were spread after them. In the tabaqa of the tabi'een, there were seven of them. There were seven of them. They were all alive at the same time. They're all alive at the same time in Al-Madinah. And they were all known for great and vast knowledge. All known for great and vast knowledge and understanding in their religion. And they're known to the scholars as Al-Fuqaha'u Al-Saba'ah. Al-Fuqaha'u Al-Saba'ah, the seven scholars of jurisprudence. And they were known for this affair. The people of knowledge, they have mentioned them likewise in some lines of poetry. And they say, إِذَا قِيلَ مَنْ فِي الْعِلْمِ سَبْعَةُ أَبْحُرٍ رِوَايَتُهُمْ لَيْسَتْ عَنِ الْعِلْمِ خَارِجَةً فَقُولْهُمْ عُبَيْدُ اللَّهِ عُرْوَةٌ قَاسِمُ سَعِيدٌ أَبُو بَكْرٍ سُلَيْمَانُ خَارِجَةً. So these are the seven here. These are the seven here. Seven fuqaha from the tabi'een. They are all present and alive at the same time in Al-Madinah. They're all present and alive at the same time in Al-Madinah. And they are Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. He was married to the daughter of Abi Hurayrah radiallahu anhu. He died in the year 95. Also, Urwa ibn al-Zubayr. Urwa ibn Zubayr, the son of Zubayr ibn Awam, one of the 10 who have been given the glad tidings. His son, Urwa. One of his sons, Urwa. He died in 94. Al-Qasim ibn Muhammad. Al-Qasim ibn Muhammad. Al-Qasim ibn Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr al-Siddiq. And this is the grandson of Abu Bakr. His son Muhammad, he had a son named Al-Qasim. He was known for knowledge. And he was known for piety and virtue. And he's from Al-Fuqaha al-Saba'ah. He died in the year 106. Al-Qasim ibn Muhammad. Also, Kharijatu ibn Zayd ibn Thabit, the son of Zayd ibn Thabit, likewise was from those fuqaha al-Saba'ah. He died in the year 100. Kharijah ibn Zayd. And also Abu Bakr ibn Abdurrahman ibn Harith ibn Hisham. He died in the year 93 from fuqaha al-Saba'ah. This is Abu Bakr, here what is being referred to. And Sulaiman ibn Yasar. Sulaiman ibn Yasar, he died in the year 70-73. And Ubaidullah ibn Abdullah ibn Utsbah ibn Mas'ud. And he died in the year 98. Ubaidullah ibn Abdullah ibn Utsbah ibn Mas'ud. Utsbah is the brother of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So his grandson, Utsbah's grandson, yani Ubaidullah, famous for narrating and for knowledge. These are al-fuqaha al-saba'a. These are the fuqaha al-saba'a. So again, they are إِذَا قِيلَ مَنْ فِي الْعِلْمِ سَبَعَةُ أَبْحُرٍ رِوَايَتُهُمْ لَيْسَتْ عَنِ الْعِلْمِ خَارِجَةً فَقُلْهُمْ عُبَيْدُ اللَّهِ عُرْوَةٌ قَاسِمُ سَعِيدٌ أَبُو بَكْر سُلَيْمَانُ خَارِجَةً. سُلَيْمَانُ خَارِجَةً. These are al-fuqaha al-saba'a. Al-fuqaha al-saba'a. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that Abu Bakr ibn Abdurrahman ibn Harith ibn Hisham, they differed about him. Some of them chose him, and others mentioned no. And the seventh one is not Abu Bakr, but rather Salim ibn Abdullah ibn Umar ibn Khattab, the son of Abdullah ibn Umar. His name is Salim. He died in the year 106. And others said, no, it's not him either. Rather, it's Abu Salim ibn Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Abu Salim ibn Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Abdurrahman ibn Auf. He had radiallahu anhu, likewise from al-Mubashirun, al-Ashr al-Mubashirun. His son is Abu Salama. Imam Malik, he praised him greatly. He said, there was a man, his name is his kunya, and there's nothing like him in knowledge. Abu Salama ibn Abdurrahman ibn Auf. He died in the year 94. So there are seven of them. One of them was different. They differed about that, and these were the two had some of the scholars preferred them over others. Some of the scholars, they preferred them over others. There was a narrator, his name is Abdullah ibn Lahia. There was a narrator, his name is Abdullah ibn Lahia, and he died in the year 174. He was an upright and noble scholar and pious, known for his narration, but he used to narrate from a book. He used to narrate from a book, and it's mentioned in his biography that his books got burned up. His books got burned up, and it was a calamity. And he would, those who learned from him and took narrations from him before his books were burned, their narrations on him are good and beneficial and reliable. And as for those who took narrations after his books were burned, and after his books were burned and he's narrating from his memory, the narrations became weak and he started making mistakes. So therefore, those who narrated before the burning of his books and the losing of his knowledge, the narrations on him are good. And those who narrated after him, and after that event, their narrations, they were no good. They were no good. And so this is something the people of knowledge, they mention. And we benefit from this to know the diligence that the people of knowledge and the people of hadith, they had with regards to verifying the Prophet's sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrations. And that they would go to great details. And there are stories like this. There was a man who was upright and a noble narrator until his books got burned. So that they were diligent to be able to verify his narrations. And there were a number of people that they knew for sure had taken from him before that. And that whoever narrated on him from the narrations of these individuals, then his narrations are good and accepted. And this is another issue of al-abadila. Another issue of al-abadila. Al-abadila, the people who have the name Abdullah. So there are four. There are four from the Atba' Tabi'een that have the name of Abdullah. And if they narrated on Abdullah ibn Lahiyah, their narrations are good. And Abdullah ibn Lahiyah, his narrations are accepted. The four of them are Abdullah ibn Wahab. He's the companion of Imam Malik. And he's the one who narrated and learned from Imam Malik. He died in the year 197. And Abdullah ibn Mubarak, he died in the year 181. And Abdullah ibn Yazid al-Muqri, he died in the year 213. And Abdullah ibn Maslama al-Qa'nabi, he died in the year 221. So these are another category of narrators. They're known as al-Abadila al-Arba'a and Abdullah ibn Lahiya. The four people known with the name of Abdullah who narrated from Ibn Lahiya. Yani, so if there's a narration, someone is verifying or checking or reading the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is the narrator, Abdullah ibn Lahiyah. The way to verify the authenticity of that, first and foremost, is to look who's narrating on him. If it's one of these four, the narration is good and accepted. Yani, if the rest of the chain is good, Yani, again, just to clarify, any examples of the details the people of knowledge have went to in order to verify the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have another number four, and they are known as al-a'imma al-arba'a. Who knows them? Al-a'imma al-arba'a, the four imams. Abu Hanifa. Al-Imam Malik. Al-Imam Shafi'i. And al-Imam Ahmed. Al-Imam Ahmed. Naam. We take their names. The first in time is Abu Hanifa. Abu Hanifa, his name is Nu'man ibn Thabit. Nu'man ibn Thabit. He was born in the year 80 and he died in the year 150. Nu'man ibn Thabit. Who is that? Abu Hanifa. After him is al-Imam Malik. His name is Malik ibn Anas. Malik ibn Anas, Abu Abdullah. And he is known as Imam Dar al-Hijra. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. He was born in the year 93 and he died in the year 179. There was another great scholar. His name is Hamad ibn Zayd. He died in the same year. For those who want to make the relationship, Hamad ibn Zayd, he died in the same year as Malik ibn Anas. They died in the same year. Two great scholars of hadith, Hamad ibn Zayd and Malik ibn Anas, rahimahumullah. After that, we have al-Imam al-Shafi'i, al-Imam al-Shafi'i, al-Muttalibi. And his name is Muhammad ibn Idris. Ibn Idris al-Shafi, Abu Abdullah. He was born in the year Abu Hanifa died. Which year was that? 150. He was born in 150 and he died in 204, and he died in 204, rahimahullah ta'ala. From the greatest of the students of Al-Imam Malik was Al-Imam Ash-Shafi'i. Al-Imam Ash-Shafi'i. After this, we have Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Also, he is Abu Abdullah. Abu Abdullah Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Imamu Ahl Sunnah. He is known as Imamu Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah. If it's mentioned Imamu Ahl Sunnah, then Imam Ahmad, he is the one that is being referred to. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. He was born in the year 164 and he died in 241. It's mentioned in the biography of Al-Imam Ahmad, he said about himself that he began seeking knowledge or traveling. He began seeking knowledge in the year that Malik ibn Anas and Hamad ibn Zayd died. What year was that? 179. Nam, this is whenever he set out. So he was born in 164. So 179, how old was he?
14.
Huh? 14. Huh? 14?
No.
Huh? 179, 164. 15, huh?
16.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 15.
15.
15. He's a young man. He began seeking hadith at this time. Rahimahullah ta'ala, traveling for that affair. So these are the four imams. That their madhahib are well known. But also there were other imams that also had madhahib. Meaning that they had they were from the imams, al-imma al-mujtahidun, like them. But Allah, He did not write for their madhahib to remain. And Allah had decreed that the madhab of these four imams would remain, that they would have students that would spread their knowledge to the lands, and they would collect their knowledge and spread it to the lands. And it's written that their madhahib and their fiqh and understanding has been preserved until this day. There were other imams likewise that had madhahib, they had students, and they had ijtihad, but their madhahib died off. And there are three of the main ones, and that is Sufyan ibn Sa'id al-Thawri. He died in the year 161. He's known as Amir al-Mu'mineen fil Hadith, and he's from the greatest of the narrators of Hadith. And he was alongside with Abu Hanifa in al-Kufa, he's known as Abu Abdullah. There was another one that was in Sham. He was in Kufa, and in Sham they had another great scholar who had ijtihad, and he had a madhab, and the people were following his way. And he is Abdurrahman ibn Amr, Abu Amr al-Awza'i. Rahimahullahu ta'ala, he died in the year 157. They had madhahib in fiqh, but also they're from the greatest of the narrators of hadith. Of hadith. After that, from the last of the a'imma al-mujtahidun, they had ijtihad and they had madhahib in fiqh, and they had rulings and jurisprudence that was being followed, was Muhammad ibn Jirir. Who knows him? He's famous for something else also. Al-Tafsir, Al-Tabari. Muhammad ibn Jarir, Al-Tabari. His kunya is Abu Ja'far, Al-Tabari. Yani he died in the year 310. Abu Ja'far Al-Tabari, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he was an imam in lugha, in shi'r, poetry. And he was an imam in history, tariq. And he was an imam in hadith. And he was an imam in tafsir. He was an imam in fiqh likewise. He had ijtihad, and he had a madhab that was being followed for some time. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. Most people know him for at-tafsir, but he also has books of tarikh, of history. And in his tafsir, he explains the tafsir with narration, and he narrates with chain. And this is one of the beautiful traits and characteristics of his tafsir, that he narrates from he explains the Quran with narrations and chain that can be verified back to to the one he narrated from, either on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the companions or the tabi'in, in this manner. So that was four, the four imams. And then three more who were also from al-imma al-mujtahidun, those who were striving with ijtihad, and they had madhahib likewise, but their madhahib, it died off. After this, we have six names and six books, and they are known as al-kutub as-sitta. Who knows them? Al-Bukhari al-Muslim, Abu Dawood, Al-Tirmidhi, before that, Al-Nasa'i and Ibn Majah. Al-Nasa'i Ibn Majah. We can divide the Kutub al-Sitta into two categories. The first one is As-Sahihan, the two authentic books, the most authentic works written by a man, and he collected in the affairs of the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal, is Sahih Bukhari. And after that, Sahih Muslim. Al-Bukhari, his name is Muhammad ibn Ismail. Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari. He died in the year 256. And his kunya is Abu Abdullah. And also he is known as well as Amir al-Mu'mineen fi al-Hadith. Amir al-Mu'mineen fi al-Hadith. And after him, yani from the Sahihain, is Muslim ibn al-Hajjaj al-Naysaburi. And he died in the year 261. And his Abu al-Husayn, Muslim ibn al-Hajjaj. And this is Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. So whenever they say the hadith is mutafiqun alayhi, they're referring to the fact that this hadith has been narrated in both of these works. This narration is narrated in both of these works. It's in al-Sahihain, the Sahih of al-Bukhari and the Sahih of Muslim. So that's the first category. The second category, ani'ab al-kutub al-sitta, is what is known as Sunan al-Arba'a, the four books of the Sunnah. As-Sunan al-Arba'a. As-Sunan al-Arba'a. And there are four. And beginning with Sulaiman ibn Ash'ath. Sulaiman ibn Ash'ath. And he is Abu Dawood al-Sijistani. Sulaiman ibn Ash'ath. And he is Abu Dawood al-Sijistani. He died in the year 275. He has the book Sunan Abi Dawood. He's from the greatest students of Al-Imam Ahmad. And Muslim, he's from the students of Bukhari. And Bukhari, he's from the students of Imam Ahmad likewise. And Bukhari, he mentioned he went to Baghdad 8 times. And every time he sat with Imam Ahmad. And every time he sat with Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullahu ta'ala. So Sulaiman ibn Ash'ath, he is Abu Dawood al-Sijistani. He died in 275. He has the book Sunan Abi Dawood. After that is Muhammad ibn Isa. Muhammad ibn Isa al-Tirmidhi. He died in 279. He has a book called Jami' al-Tirmidhi. Some call it Sunan al-Tirmidhi. But in reality, it's Jami' al-Tirmidhi. Because a book that is considered Sunan is different from a book that is Jami'. And the one who looks at the book of al-Tirmidhi, his book is Jami', and it's not Sunan. It's been mentioned about al-Tirmidhi, he is from the greatest students of Bukhari. He benefited greatly from Bukhari. And you will find in the statements of al-Tirmidhi, he will say, Sa'altu Muhammadan kada wa kada. Sa'altu Muhammadan kada wa kada. Qala Muhammadun kada wa kada. He said, I asked Muhammad this and that. I heard Muhammad say this and that. What he's referring to here is Muhammad ibn Ismail. And he was diligent to learn from al-Bukhari, and he used to ask him questions a lot and seek knowledge from him a lot, until the extent that it's mentioned that Bukhari, he said, to al-Tirmidhi, مَسْتَفَدْتُ مِنْكَ أَكْثَرْ مِمَّا اسْتَفَدْتَ مِنِّي. He said that what I benefited from you was more than what you benefited from me. Al-Bukhari, he told al-Tirmidhi, he told his student this. And he, because he would come to him and ask him and ask him, and then he would research and strive to answer his questions and his concerns and inquiries and the likes like this. So he would cause him to work and to benefit. And look, he said, I benefited more from you than you benefited from me. And this is also from his humbleness. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. So at Tirmidhi, he has Jami' Tirmidhi. After that is Ahmad ibn Shu'aib. Ahmad ibn Shu'aib, Abu Abdurrahman, he died in the year 303, and he is a Nasa'i. And he has Sunan al-Nasa'i. And he is known for sternness and selection of men and narrators. And he was very, very stern in those who he narrated on. And almost all of the narrations in Sunan al-Nasa'i are authentic because of his diligence. To select and to choose, and to choose the narrators. After that, the last one from Sunan al-Arba, who was he? Ibn Majah. His name is Muhammad ibn Yazid ibn Majah, Abu Abdullah. He died in the year 273. Rahimahullah ta'ala. A great scholar of al-Hadith. So this is Sunan al-Arba. In this order, Abu Dawud, At-Tirmidhi, An-Nasa'i, and Ibn Majah. In this arrangement, in this order, the people of knowledge, they mention them in their virtue and in their books. Whenever you put them together with As-Sahihain, now you have six. And this is Al-Kutub As-Sitta. And they are known as Al-Ummahat As-Sitta. The six main books. The six main books of Hadith. There are a number of other books after them. A number of other relied upon and very beneficial works, but these are the main six books for the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We forgot to mention Imam Malik, he has a book likewise. What was it called? Al-Muwatta. And also Imam Ahmad, he has a book likewise. Imam Ahmad, he has a number of books. But the most famous? Al-Musnad. There's approximately 40,000 hadith, yani repeated. So then we have the Kutub al-Sitta, but sometimes they'll say Al-Kutub al-Sab'a, the seven. If we say the four, we know who they are, right? Sunan al-Arba'a. If we say the six, we add Bukhari and Muslim. If they say the seven, they add Imam Ahmed. Understand that? And then the eighth one will be the Muwatta. And there's one more. There's one more that the people of knowledge, they add along with that, and that is Sunan al-Darimi. So sometimes you will find them mentioning the nine books of Hadith. And this is Al-Kutub al-Sitta, and Al-Muwatta, and Musnad Imam Ahmad, and Sunan al-Darimi. Al-Darimi has a great book. Abdullah ibn Abdurrahman al-Darimi. He died in the year 255. He has a great book of Hadith likewise. Many of the narrations are similar to that which is in the other works. So if we see, for example, the people of knowledge, they mentioned Al-Kutub al-Tis'ah. Al-Kutub al-Tis'ah, we have the six along with the Muwatta and the Musnad and Sunan al-Darimi. All of them. Kutub al-Sitta, they were all upon the creed of Ahl Sunnah, and they were all in defense of the creed and the belief of Ahl Sunnah. Rahimahumallahu jami'an. After that, there's too many names, too many books. Dar al-Qudni. He's coming later. Dar al-Qudni, he died in the year 385. He has Sunan al-Dar al-Qudni. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. One thing about him, I remember from his biography, that he was able to, his memorization was an amazing affair. Until the extent that he would be inside the gathering of knowledge where the Shaykh is narrating hadith. And at the same time, they used to also make nesq. They would have the narrations that they heard, and then they would copy them. Or they would get the narrations from their Shaykh, and they would copy them, and then they would read them to the Shaykh, and the likes like this. So it's mentioned that in one of the gatherings, he's making nesq. He's writing down the narrations from one paper to another. And the students around him, after they're finished, they're finding fault with him. What are you doing? You're not even paying attention. The Shaykh is saying. And he said, be quiet. Tell me, be quiet. What are the, how many did he narrate? And they told him, and he mentioned all of them. And he mentioned all of them. Meaning he was writing and copying at the same time he's listening and memorizing. He could memorize and listen at the same time as he's writing. He's writing, yeah, and it's easy for him. He's writing the from one hadith to another page, and at the same time listening to the man narrating, and he memorized all of them. And he memorized all of them. Rahimahullah ta'ala. That was Ad-Darqutni. Before him was Ibn Khuzaymah. Well, before him was Ibn Khuzaymah, Abu Bakr, Muhammad ibn Ishaq ibn Khuzaymah. He died in year 311. He has a book called Sahih ibn Khuzaymah. He has a book called Sahih ibn Khuzaymah. And he was known as Imam al-A'imma. Imam al-A'imma. And he has a famous statement. He used to mention that anybody who claims that there are two authentic narrations that contradict each other, bring them to me and I'll find harmony. Bring them to me and I'll find harmony. I will clarify to you that there's no contradiction. And he used to challenge the people like this. And he was known as Imam al-A'imma, Ibn Khuzaymah. Ibn Khuzaymah, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He had a great student after him, Muhammad ibn Hibban al-Busti. Muhammad ibn Hibban al-Busti. He died in the year 354. And he has a book called Sahih ibn Hibban. Sahih ibn Hibban. So these are the books after the Kutub al-Sittah. And they came after, yani the Ashab Kutub al-Sittah. But their books are very beneficial and reliable. Even though it's known as Sahih ibn Hibban, there are some weak narrations and it must be verified. But these are from the books of Hadith that are relied upon. Ibn Hibban, he had a great student after him, and he's known as Al-Hakim al-Naysaburi. Al-Hakim al-Naysaburi. Muhammad ibn Abdullah Al-Hakim al-Naysaburi. He died in the year 405. 405. He has a book called Al-Mustadrak. Al-Mustadrak. Mustadrak al-Hakim. And these are yani from the main books of Hadith after Al-Kutub al-Sitta. After Al-Kutub al-Sitta. There was a great scholar from the Hanafi Madhab. Also, scholar of Hadith. Who knows him? He has a great Aqidah. Al-Tahawi. Al-Tahawi. Abu Ja'far Ahmad ibn Muhammad al-Tahawi. He died in the year 321. His is easy to remember. 3, 2, 1. 3, 2, 1. He died in the year 321. He has a number of works. Mushkil al-Athar and Sharh Ma'ani al-Athar. Al-Imam al-Tahawi. Also, he has Al-Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah in defense of the creed of Ahl al-Sunnah. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. After him, we have Ali ibn Umar al-Darqutni. He died in the year 385. 385. Yani, coming to yani an end with regards to this affair. From the last of the books of Hadith, yani like this is At-Tabarani, At-Tabarani, Sulaiman ibn Ahmad At-Tabarani, At-Tabarani Abu al-Qasim. He died in the year 360. He died in the year 360. There was another scholar who died in the same year 360. Rather, there's two more, and it's beneficial if you remember one of them, you add two more. If they have the same, you couple them together. Al-Imam al-Ajurri. Abu Bakr Muhammad ibn Hussein al-Ajurri. Al-Ajurri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in 360 likewise. And also, Ar-Rahman Ramuzi, he died in the year 360 as well. He's the first one to collect a book about Mustalah Hadith and gather all of this, or a number of sciences, or a number of issues in Mustalah Hadith together in one book. His name is Ar-Rahman Ramuzi. Rahim, he died in 360. His book is called Al-Muhaddith al-Fasil, Bain al-Rawi wal-Wa'i. So he was the first one to write a book about the sciences of Hadith and put all of the sciences together in one book. In one book. Before that, it was a little bit here and a little bit there. And they all died in the same year. After that, from the last of those who collected books of Hadith with narrations, Al-Bayhaqi. Al-Bayhaqi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he died in the year 458, I think. 458, taqriban. Taqriban. Who knows the best books of tafsir? The reliable books of tafsir. There's a number of books of tafsir. What are the books of tafsir? At-Tabari, that's the first one. After him, Ibn Kathir, he came later. At-Tabari, when did he die? We mentioned 310. 310. After him, al-Baghawi. Tafsir al-Baghawi. Tafsir Salafi. His tafsir, he's from Ahl Sunnah, alhamdulillah. Al-Baghawi. He died in the year 516. And after him, another famous tafsir, although there's some issues in some of the speech about the Sifat, al-Qurtubi. But the people of knowledge, they benefit from his work. And they make an excuse for the slips that he has. Because of the benefit that he has in his book, he died in the year 671. There's two, al-Qurtubi, there's two of them. Al-Qurtubi al-Mufassir, and this is the one we're referring to. And he died in the year 671. There's another one, al-Muhaddith. And he has a sharh of Sahih Muslim, it's called al-Mufhim. He died in the year 656. After that, Ismail ibn Kathir. Ismail ibn Kathir al-Wafida. He died in the year 774. After that, from the beneficial tafsir, Tafsir al-Shawkani. But likewise, there are some ta'wilat that are there, but the people of knowledge, they benefit from his tafsir, and they're aware of the ta'wilat, and they excuse him, but they don't follow that, which is considered an error, but the book is beneficial, especially for those who are able to determine that which is good. The majority of it is good, alhamdulillah. He summarized, wallahu alam, he summarized Al-Qurtubi, Tafsir Al-Qurtubi. Many of the issues that he mentions there is from Tafsir Al-Qurtubi. Al-Shawkani, he died in the year 1250. That is 44 years after another scholar. Who is he? In the year 1206, someone died. Muhammad, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala. Now, after that, we have Sheikh As-Sa'di. Sheikh As-Sa'di has a great tafsir. He died in the year 1376. Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir As-Sa'di, rahimahullah. And after him, from the beneficial tafsir, that a student he will not want to miss out, and benefiting from Muhammad Amin Shinqiti, rahimahullah ta'ala, and he is Sheikh Shuyukhina. Shaykh Shuyukhina, Muhammad ibn Muhammad al-Amin al-Shanqiti, he is the Shaykh of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin. And our Mashaykh that we learn from their Mashaykh, he's from them. He's from them. He died in the year 1393. He has a great, great tafsir. Tafsir, the Quran by the Quran. And he will mention many beneficial affairs in that tafsir. Who has question? Naam. Musannaf Abdul Razzaq. There's also Musannafat. Abdul Razzaq, his name is Abdul Razzaq al Hammam al-Sanani. He died in the year 211. He died in the 211. He has Musannaf. He has a Musannaf. It's about 11 volumes. It's very beneficial. The difference between his work and the works of that which we mentioned here, from the books of hadith, they're only collecting marfu'at, except for the muwatta. The other books, all the kutub sitta, and then Sahih Ibn Khuzaybah and Ibn Hibban, and the books after them of Tahawi and the likes like that, you only find al marfu'at there. You only find the hadith and marfu'at, and the hadith that is ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the muwatta, it has also mawqufat and maqtu'at. But the Musannaf, he has some marfu'at, but he has a lot of mawqufat and maqtu'at. So this is a benefit. And if a person, he wants to know the position of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een in the areas of fiqh and the likes like this, because he will make the arrangement, the book of Tahara and the book of Salah and the book of this and the book of this, and he'll mention narrations, some of them with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but many of them on the companions and the Tabi'een. And Abdul Razzaq. There's another one who has a Musannaf also. Two. The Musannafat, there's a number of them, but two of them are the most famous. Abdul Razzaq, Ibn Hammam, San'ani. Imam Ahmed, he traveled to him and his legs split. His feet split to go to Abdul Razzaq, rahimahullah ta'ala. Whenever they found fault with him, and they're like, be quiet. What I benefited from him is greater than you can imagine. It's greater than you can imagine. But there was one more who had a Musannaf also. Musannaf, Ibn, Abi, Shaybah. Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shaybah. He died in the year 235. The year 235. He's from the He's from the Mashaykh of the Kutub al-Sitta or a number of them, and Bukhari and the likes, and Muslim. But he has a Musannif also. So a book that's called Musannif, it has the Hadith Marfu', the Hadith Mawquf, it has narrations of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, narrations of the companions, and narrations of the Tabi'een. There, their statements, you'll find them in the Musannifat. As for these other books, the Kutub al-Sitta, Sunan al-Arba, and the Sahihain, and the books that are called As-Siha, then these books, they have only the marfu'at, and you will only rarely find something that is from the statements of the companions or the tabi'in in those books. We can mention what's the difference between a book that's jami'. We know the book that's called musannaf, right? Has all of that. The book that is jami' and the book that is called sunan. We have jami'. Bukhari, his book is called jami'. Jami' al-Sahih. And Muslim, his book is called Jami', Jami' al-Sahih. We said what is correct about it, Tirmidhi, is his book is called Jami', Al-Jami' al-Kabir. But as for Abu Dawood, it's called Sunan Abi Dawood. And Al-Nisa'i, Sunan Al-Nisa'i. Ibn Majah, Sunan Ibn Majah. What's the difference here? We talked about this before, who remembers? Ahsant. The Jami', the book that's called Jami', it is a book that mentioned in that book. The author, he has gathered all aspects of the religion, not just fiqh issues, not just tahara and salat and zakat and fasting and hajj, not only rulings and verdicts, halal and haram, any of the issues like this, issues of fiqh, like marriage and contracts, that's in there also. But along with that, you'll find the book of tafsir, and you'll find the book of manners and etiquettes, and you'll find the book of iman and faith, and the book of knowledge, and you'll find the book of raqa'iq, heart softeners. So they say that the book that's called Jami' has everything that a believer needs in his life, from aqidah to manhaj, methodology, knowledge, manners, etiquettes, tafsir, all of that is included. Fiqh is all included in a book that's called Jami'. As for a book that's called Sunan, then it only has the abwab al-fiqhiyya, the issues related to fiqh. You'll find the majority of them, they begin with tahara, and then salat, and then zakat, and then sawm, and then hajj. And then after that, they have buyu', the chapters of buyu', and buying and trading. And then after that, nikah, or sometimes nikah first. Nikah, and then divorce. And then after that, criminal laws, jinayat, and the likes like this, and jihad until the end of the book. So then the book that's called Sunan, it only has the issues of fiqh there. It doesn't have aqidah there, for example. It doesn't have the aqidah there, the chapter of iman, or heart softeners, or tafsir. But if you look in at-Tirmidhi, you will find all of these affairs. So therefore, it's considered jami'. These are the books where you find the hadith. But this is the source to find the hadith and to verify the hadith. But after that, you have to learn the understanding of the hadith. So from here, the scholars, they wrote shuruhat. And this is from the most important of affairs, the shuruhat that have been written on the Al-Kutub al-Sitta specifically. Shuruhat, Kutub al-Sitta, the books explaining the Kutub al-Sitta. This is a very important topic, but we close today. Maybe we discuss soon, inshaAllah. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.